वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुदीरहे नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवती उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः।
श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 54 टेक्स्ट नंबर 23। विकटमाना कुमतीर ईश्वर ईश्वर्य प्रपन्ना वेद रथे रथैक गोविंदम तिष्ठ तिष्ठति अथाव्यथत। विकटमानः कुमति ईश्वरस्य प्रपन्नं वेद रथैकेन गोविंदम् तिष्ठ तिष्ठति अथाव्ययात्। विकटमाना कुमतिर ईश्वरस्य प्रपन्ना वेद रथैरथैकेन गोविंदम् तिष्ठ तिष्ठति अथावयात्। विकटमानः कुमतिर ईश्वरस्य प्रपन्ना वेद रथैकेन गोविंदम् तिष्ठ तिष्ठति अथावयात्। विकटमानः बोस्टिंग कुमति ही फुलिश ईश्वरस्य ऑफ द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड अप्रपन्ना विथ नॉट नोइंग द डायमेंशंस रथेन एकेन विथ अ सिंगल चैरियट गोविंदम टू लॉर्ड कृष्णा तिष्ठ तिष्ठ स्टैंड एंड फाइट इति सो सेइंग अथ धेन आवयत ही कॉल्ड। ट्रांसलेशन बोस्टिंग दस फुलिश रुक्मी इग्नोरेंट ऑफ द ट्रू एक्सटेंट ऑफ द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड्स पावर अप्रोच लॉर्ड गोविंद इन हिज लोन चैरियट एंड चैलेंज्ड हिम just stand and fight. Purport by the servants of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Purport, it appears from these verses that although Rukmi set out with an entire military division, he personally rushed up to Lord Krishna to fight with him.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So it's a beautiful chapter, marriage of Krishna and Rukmini, and this particular episode where, this particular portion of the chapter where we are seeing Rukmi, even though he was prepared to go with a whole battalion of soldiers, army, to fight with Krishna, he was so excited. He was just so hyper excited that he lost his Hare Krishna. 2 minutes. Can I touch it? He has instructed me not to touch the mic. So he was excited, and in his excitement, he doesn't know what he's doing. You can see excitements are of various types. We also read of the excitement of the Vrajavadhus or the gopis of Vrindavan when Krishna played his flute. And they also did not know what they were doing. One of the things that they did is that they wore different parts of the cloth in different places of their bodies. So excited. Now, you know, even if we are super excited, you know, in a normal, we will not do that. You know, you will not wear your pant up and you will not wear your shirt down. It doesn't really appear logical. But you can imagine their high level of enthusiasm, excitement, eagerness to see Krishna. That they applied kajal in one eye and they stopped. They didn't apply kajal in the other eye. So, that is excitement. That is the highest excitement of the spiritual world. But here also, Rukmi is also excited out of anger, out of pride, out of arrogance, out of his envy for the Lord. So even though he's supposed to go with this whole army, he just goes alone. And he challenges Krishna. That's what he's saying. He's saying, boasting thus, foolish Rukmi. ignorant of the true extent of the Supreme Lord's power, approached Lord Govinda in this lone, in his lone chariot. He doesn't know what he's getting into. If somebody can, in spite of all the preparation that he had made to make sure, he knew it, that something going to happen. In spite of all these things, if still Krishna could kidnap Rukmini, logically it makes logical sense that this person who did it has to be very, very powerful. Otherwise, how can he dare do it with all the arrangements? It's like if there's going to be a, is a known fact that there's a terrorist attack. You know, nowadays we are hearing so much unfortunate news in the world. And if like 2611, we had a terrorist attack here. And everybody was on their guard. The whole army, the whole police department. And if, God forbid it didn't happen, but if on 27th, there was another terrorist attack. Suppose. So you can imagine how daredevil that terrorist would be. It happened in the recent attack. There was an attack in a school, and then just a few hours later it was in a college, a girls' college. Right? So you can imagine how daredevil they must be, how powerful they must be, how well prepared. So Rukmi, if he had even logical sense, he should have understood that this Krishna, even if he didn't know that he was God, he should have known that Krishna is very powerful. In spite of all the phalanx of soldiers that had prepared to make sure that this event, because he knew that something was going to happen. It did happen. And he's saying, Rukmi, out of his boast, because he was so full of ego and so full of arrogance that he alone went and challenged Krishna, stand and fight and I'll kill you. So boasting is the outcome of as we, this verse says very clearly, thus, boasting thus, foolish Rukmi, ignorant of the Lord's true nature. So there are three very nice words. Boasting, foolish Rukmi, and ignorant. When you boast, you are foolish, and the result of your foolishness is that you don't realize the extent of the Lord's greatness. That's what the verse is so wonderfully telling us. The whole sequence of event, the way it happens. That when you are arrogant, you are actually foolish. And in a foolishness, you are very boastful. You brag. This is the word used also. Like he loves to brag about himself. And when you brag about yourself, the result is that you don't realize the true extent of the Lord's glory or the person's glory that you're talking in front of. His glory, you don't realize it. So we have many, many examples in our scriptures. Because what is Bhagavatam? What is the scriptures meant to be? It is explained. We spoke about this verse that nashta prayeshu abhadreshu. That when you are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, when you are reading Chaitanya Charitamrita or any scripture, it is meant to remove all the abhadra things from your heart. All the bad things are supposed to be removed. So again and again in the scriptures, the author or the speaker in this, Sukadeva Goswami or the author Vedvyas, he brings to us various instances of what we are not supposed to do and various instances of things that we are supposed to do. Both the things are present. So in this situation, you know, the person is talking about arrogance born out of ignorance of the Lord's glory. Arrogance gives rise to ignorance. So Rukmi was ignorant of the Lord's glory, and that gave rise to this arrogant attitude that he showed in this, is showing in this verse. We also see in the case of a very interesting story, a very, very beautiful story about King Pondrak. very interesting personality in Pondrak that. So it is not that this disease of calling yourself to be God is just something very recent. Even during Krishna's time, when he was personally present, there was somebody who called himself to be Krishna. Right? And, you know, he was staying in Kashi. He had his friend in the form of the king of Kashi. And he wrote a message to Krishna that, Krishna, give up all your weapons. These are my weapons. You are a false Krishna. And the messenger came in the whole assembly of Dwarka. Ugrasen and all the assembly was there. Can you imagine the situation? Krishna, Ugrasen, all this powerful Dwarka was just sitting, Balramji is sitting, and here comes a messenger. How foolish is the message that he's carrying? That he's saying that, Krishna, you give up all your weapons, give up all your, you know, your Kaustubha jewel, your Kamudiki bow and all these things. I am the real Krishna. So you all know what happened. When the message was read, what was the first reaction? Everybody was laughing. It was a hilarious joke. The joke of the millennium. What are you talking? But Krishna, he sent a message back. He said, go and tell him, I am definitely going to give up my weapons, and that is going to be to destroy you. And you will become the shelter, the food of the dogs. That was Krishna. Send a message back, I said. Go and tell him that. And then Krishna attacked. Because Krishna can't tolerate this mentality of Prabhutva. Forget calling yourself to be the Supreme Prabhu. Even the Prabhutva attitude. That is why, you know, we have this very wonderful understanding. It's very exciting to know your new name during initiation. You know, it's always like very exciting. Always people want to know what will be my name. And then it's actually a good event, because even the spiritual masters, they want the name to be shouted loudly. It's a wonderful event. But what is most important, Prabhupada said, in the name that you get, is the Das behind. It's the Das behind. So the important thing that we need to understand is the mood of servitude. And here, Krishna was so disgusted with Pondrak that I said, immediately Krishna had to deal with it. It was a disease. Please understand, disease has to be taken care of immediately. You cannot, it is explained by Chandrakirti, but death and disease has to be taken care of immediately. And this disease of Prabhutva, the disease of thinking yourself to be the Lord and Master of the things that you survey, or the things that they are under you, is a big disease and it has to be tackled immediately. And Pondrak, I mean, he was a big, big demon, having big ego and big ignorance. And Krishna had to deal with it personally. So Krishna came, and it is quite a joke. It is like sometimes in a drama, you know, it's such an effort if somebody has to act as Vishnu, to tie the other two hands to him. They have two hands. But that Vishnu has to have other two hands. You know, it is because we take part in dramas. It is such a trouble to really get the other two hands remaining proper, looking normal. Otherwise, you know, sometimes the hand starts falling and the person can't move. And the person has to stand like Vishnu, and then the hand starts falling, and then he puts his hands up. And it's a hilarious. Now, Pondra actually stuck two of his hands. He stuck these hands. He had created a false Kastuba jewel. And he had stuck a false golden hair on his chest, which showing the place of Lakshmi. He had done all these stupid things, funny things. And he came with his false Kamudiki bow, right? He came outside and was... And Krishna again, when he saw face to face that Pondrak, he again was laughing. You know, if somebody... You know, like, you know, the moment you know, a great person is there, right? You know, somebody who acts as Prabhupada. You know, recent, a few years back, we saw somebody act as Prabhupada. You know, that somebody is a very respectable devotee. But the first, even though he was doing a brilliant role, this is our worshipable, respectable Shruti Dharma Prabhu from Bhaktivedanta Manor. He did a brilliant job to act as Prabhupada. It's such a challenge to act as Prabhupada, you know, because everybody knows Prabhupada. And you know how, and he did a brilliant job. But the first reaction, but then he became serious. But the first thing when you see a great man, somebody acting, but can you imagine the hilarious situation? And but first, here he's acting. People know that he's acting, and he knows that he's acting. Even the actor knows he's acting. He's not doing it seriously. But Pondrak was convinced that he's God, and Krishna was laughing. Maybe laughing at his own illusory energy. I said, what sort of illusory energy is this? See this man standing in front of me. He has done a brilliant job. Brilliant job he has done. Right? So Krishna was laughing, but then this is not the way you deal with it, just by laughing. You have to do some serious surgery over this Prabhutva attitude. You can't just laugh at it. Krishna just did laugh. Krishna showed by his example. They had to do some serious surgery. And he fought with him. And he took his Sudarshan Chakra and just cut off his head, cut off the head of King of Kashi. Those who were supporting the Prabhutva. This means there are many disciples who support their Guru. My Guru is God, my Guru is God. They need to be dealt with the same way. Now, we are not here to cut people's head, by the way. But we are supposed to deal with them in that same aggressive way. You cannot be God, and you cannot support somebody quoting himself or herself to be God. So this Pondrak, when he met Krishna, he was boasting. Say, oh, you give up this, you give up that. And Krishna was laughing. This boasting attitude is nothing but attitude of, you know, it's something like you have gas. You have a lot of gas in you. And you know, when you have gas, you keep on making sound, right? I'm sorry, it's making a little gross. But you know, it just makes so much sound. Similarly, when you are empty, it makes so much sound. But when you have some substance, you don't make sound. When something is full, it has substance, it doesn't make sound. Similarly, when you do not have any substance, or you have just substance which is full of gas, which is full of nothing, then you make so much sound, so much of arrogance, so much of boasting, so much of bragging comes from you. It is like all bark and no bite. It is like all hammer and no nails. I was just trying to see if there are a lot of hammers, but if there's no nail, what's the use? If you have a lot of icing but no cake, what's the use of that? If you have a lot of wax but no wick, what was the use of the wax? So you speak so much, but there's no substance to your speaking. That substance, the nail or the cake, and the idioms that we discussed, the substance is missing when you are boasting. And this boasting is termed as, you know, it is also saying that blowing one's own trumpet. You know, it's like you have a trumpet, and usually the trumpet is used for glorification of the king. That way, when you say, boom, 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 and then you blow the trumpet, and then you announce something. Oh, the king has announced today that he's going to distribute, boom, 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 something like that. It is a trumpet. But you blow the trumpet and you say, today I'm going to be very merciful to all of you. It is stupid. How can you blow your own trumpet? Somebody else has to talk about your glory. You can't be talking about your own glory, even if you have the glory. Right? So we should understand that this boasting tendency is something so serious. And I was just analyzing that there's a research done, and we're trying to analyze the research, that a research done in the world that almost 40 to 45% of all the talking that is happening in the world, and this research was just in 2008 before the Facebook came into picture. So at that time it was 40 to 45% of all the talking done was under the category of bragging, boasting about oneself. And I was just thinking, what is this Facebook? Of course it has its own good use. I'm not against any of this technology. But what we see more and more is nothing but bragging about what you ate, what you did, what you thought, what you spoke, what you met. I mean, all sorts of things are put in this particular forum, which is utilized by people to brag about themselves. Who wants to bother about what you did? And there are people who have all the time in the world to bother about what you did and then reply to that. But what is it? It's all about bragging. Please understand, it saps your very existence. It saps all your sanity out of you. This bragging, and we will analyze it, you know. And there was it is so much so-called nectar to speak about yourself, that there was a research done in Harvard, and all sorts of research happened. The research done in Harvard, what sort of pleasure people get when they talk about themselves? Interesting research, right? So they actually. There are two options. There was one option that you speak about people who are very famous.
And they in the research they said, speak about the president of your country, about his good qualities, versus speak about what you like to eat. And if you speak about somebody else, every minute you speak, you will get $2. And if you have to speak about yourself, every minute you speak, you have to pay $5. Okay, this was a serious research done, and they want to really find out. They found out that 95% of the people, they were ready to spend money, but they loved to speak about themselves, they don't speak about somebody else, even if they got some money out of doing that. It was interesting research outcome. And they explained, and of course they did a research, because they put these people into some magnetic resonance scale, you know, where they were seeing what sort of brain activity happens when you boast about yourself, when you talk about yourself, what sort of pleasure it gives. It's a scientific term, but those who are scientific here, they said the activity of brain which belongs to the mesolimbic dopamine system, which is basically, if you analyze, that the pleasure generating part of your brain, the same pleasure which you get when you have money, food or sex. Money, food and sex, the pleasure which is generated, that particular region, the same region was excited when somebody talks about himself. So in one sense, bragging is nothing but subtle sex life. Because the same pleasure, there are people love to brag, they love to talk about themselves. And why is it? Why do people do this? Because of various reasons. And let us analyze briefly. And this is also very much prevalent, you know, amongst the devotee community. To the extent we don't recognize the glory of Krishna, to the extent we are not filled with understanding how Krishna is glorious, how our Guru is glorious, how our Acharyas are glorious, and we don't have that substance within us, to that extent we will be engaging ourselves in glorifying ourselves. Because you don't have things to glorify. So you want to glorify some things, you start glorifying yourself. So the first reason why somebody glorifies or brags or boasts, if you analyze it, is nothing but arrogant people like to talk loudly about their accomplishments or their possessions because they have an insecurity in their lives, and they are trying to fill up that insecurity by talking about themselves again and again and again. There is an innate, they know about the insecure. They are insecure, they are not very happy with what they are doing, or they are not happy with the response that people are giving them for what they are doing, and they fill that gap by talking about themselves. You can never motivate a person who feels, you know, superior. I mean, who is having that secure feeling. You can never motivate him to brag. He never brags. He is a secure. And it is explained in the Gita. What's that? Sama sarveshu bhuteshu. He is equipoised. He's happy within his heart. He knows the Krishna, Supreme Person of Godhead. He is a secure person. He has found the security in Krishna's lotus feet. He doesn't need any external security. So the first reason why many of us engaged into this boasting attitude, where many times we say, well, and devotees are extremely conscious or not to boast, because they know it, they're not supposed to do it. But when they do get a chance, unknowingly there's a and we will analyze how it happens. Devotees know it, that, you know, it ugs the soul. It is disgusting to the soul. The soul loves to glorify Krishna, and to the extent we do not do that, and we engage ourselves in talking about ourselves, the soul is getting strangulated. We know that. But when we have an insecurity, then we tend to really engage into some boasting and bragging. And how does it happen? We usually don't do it. At least when we are in a devotee's environment, because we know we are not supposed to do it. But when somebody glorifies you, I say, oh, Prabhu, you gave a beautiful class. Excellent class. Or you did magnificent seva today. So moment you get that glorification, how do you react to that glorification is going to decide whether you are secure or insecure. If you are really a secure person, you don't need glorification, but you get it and you say, well, thank you very much for it. Because anyway, you didn't do this activity for glorification. You did it for something else. You did it for pleasing your guru. You did it for, maybe if it is not a directly spiritual activity, then you did it as your natural obligation, your natural responsibility. But still people glorify you. And you say, well, thank you very much. I appreciate you glorifying me. I'm happy that you are pleased. That's all. It ends there. But many times we see that, oh, glorify, oh, you know something, I gave a nice class. What part of the class you liked, by the way? And then you say, oh, you know, I did double this. And then you start explaining about, in a subtle way, actually, you know, I didn't did it, but this is what I did, you know. And this is the research I did, and this is what, this is. And then you start talking more and more and more about yourself. This is the, how subtly Maya creeps in. It begins with the word used, pandraka-like facade. And we have this pandraka-like facade that, well, you are a very nice person, you have a false facade. When a pandraka-like facade means a false facade, that you are a nice devotee, but Maya is challenging you every minute. And she creeps in. And you say, well, yeah, actually, and then you start glorifying. This is what is bragging. This is what is boasting. It is something which is not very, very natural. And what happens when you find people who like to talk about themselves? I'm sure all of us experience it, right? That you meet a person, and there are unfortunately some people who love to talk about themselves. And sometimes not about their glory, but many times we engage into a situation where, oh, you know, I'm just so busy. There's so much of seva. You know how people want to meet me. I have no time, right? People love to talk. This is also, in one sense, if it is not done for a particular purpose, if it is just done as information, it could be under the same category of boasting or bragging. So that is a danger in our life. So the moment we talk about ourselves, people, they immediately react to it. You know, they start saying, oh, he has started himself. You know, and it is not very easy for anybody, forget devotees, I mean, people in general, to keep on hearing about your glories from your own mouth. It's just so difficult. And next time you see the same person, moment he sees you, he wants to change his direction. I've seen that. That, you know, you don't want to meet that person because it's just so unnatural, just so artificial. The another way of just avoiding, you know, bragging is sometimes to show your vulnerability is actually a sign of strength. Just to the extent that you are trying to show that you are great. And you don't want to show the troubles that you're going through, because you feel that if I show my troubles, then maybe people think that I'm quite ordinary or useless. But actually speaking, it's just the other way around. When you show your vulnerability in a situation, it is actually a sign of strength, because it shows that you are secure, you are very honest, you are very, very forthright. People don't have to really, really have to discern what you are. You are saying, well, Maya is very strong and I struggle. So that's why when I heard this particular example, there was a Prabhupada sitting in the temple and he was praying, and one of the senior disciples of Prabhupada asked, Prabhupada, what are you praying? Prabhupada was intensely praying, very intensely praying. And that the senior disciple asked Prabhupada, what are you praying? Prabhupada was praying that I'm praying to Krishna that I should not fall into Maya. Now does that show vulnerability of Prabhupada? Oh, Prabhupada also falls into Maya. Does it show that? Or it shows how wonderful Prabhupada is. It actually shows his strength. Right? So many times we do not understand the way things work. Rukmi, because he was just so much in a boastful mood, he became a laughing stock. Pondrak, he was such in a boastful mood, he became a laughing stock to the world. And similarly, we feel that we are finding great happiness, because as the experiment shows, it gives us a lot of happiness. But if we are living for our own happiness all the time,
then that's not what the world is wanting you to do. The world wants people who are living for other people's pleasure. They do things for what other people like them to do. That's what the world is wanting, whether it's in a devotee environment or even in general the outside environment. So when you're talking about ourselves, when we say that you did something, there's another very, very sign of pride or boastfulness is how many times you use the word I. It is not just the language I. It is the mentality communicated through your language. That's very important. So many times I was sitting once, with my spiritual master, and he asked me, so how many devotees went to this particular place? And there were 5 devotees who went. So I quoted the names. Maharaj, myself, and this devotee went. And immediately I was corrected. I said, my dear friend, moment you are talking about somebody where you are involved, you should speak your name the last. That means this, and myself. That's the etiquette you must use to just program yourself that you are the most insignificant. But more and more you say that, well, you know, I went here and then I met this person and then I did this and I did that. Now that shows a serious I-ness in your talking. That I. That's against boasting. Instead of I. And it is not that when I say this, it's not just that we are talking about just the way you program your language. Madam, you can do that. You can be thinking something, but you program your language and you speak so sweetly. What we are talking about in Bhagavatam class, we are not giving some management lectures, you know, lecture here, how to speak. We're talking about programming our consciousness. And what the consciousness is of a person is when he's speaking, when he's communicating, he's showing by his communication that we did this. Because the fact is that even if you were the only person who did that, it was not possible without the help of your spiritual master, without the help of the higher authorities, the demigods. So when you say we, it means we, because you cannot do anything on your own. Even if you were actually the only human being doing it. Still, the word used, we, is very much appropriate. Because you always have your Chaitya Guru in your heart. You always have the instruction of a guru who is guiding you in any activity you do. So this is all very, very subtle but very important pointers to show where is our consciousness. Many times we when we talk about spiritual life, we talk about the serious problems that we have in front of us, and we must talk about them. We must try to deal with them. Lust, anger, pride and greed, these are all serious things. But all these things are shown in a subtle way through various pointers in our behavior. And if you are not very conscious of those pointers, then those diseases which can apparently be very small can lead to some serious cancerous growth in our spiritual life and can destroy our spiritual life. That's the way how Rukmi, this mentality of Rukmi was actually the cause of his death. You know, he was boasting, and Krishna, luckily Krishna saved him because he was with Rukmini. He didn't want to really kill on the marriage day, kill the brother-in-law of his brother-in-law. So he just sent him off with just a nice haircut. But the same mentality remained. Rukmini didn't learn his lesson. So when there was this marriage ceremony of his granddaughter, Rochana, I guess, right? Rochana with Aniruddha. And then Balramji was there. And they said, let's have a game of dice. Because Kshatriyas play dice. So Rukmi and Balramji were sitting, and there was this king of Kalinga. You know, he was there with him, and they were all supporters of Rukmi. And Balram made a wager, 100 gold coins, then 1,000 gold coins, then 10,000 gold coins. The first match, Rukmi won. And then officially, Balramji was throwing the dice and he was winning. And Rukmi said, no, you didn't win. I won. And then King of Kalinga was showing his teeth. You won, you lost. I mean, he says Bhagavatam, he showed his teeth.
So, Balaramji just tolerated him for some time. Then he made a serious big wager. Whatever numbers is this. And again, Balaramji won. And just to support that he won, there was an Akashwani. I said, Balaramji has won this wager. And still they were arguing. They're, no, you are cheating. He was just so boastful, so much filled with himself. And there are so many supporters to support him. The king of Kalinga showing his teeth and all the other various supporters. Same arrogance, born out of ignorance. The same boastful nature of Rukmi didn't go after years. Even though, please understand, he was one of the very, very close relatives of Krishna, please understand. To be the brother-in-law of Krishna, the main queen, Rukmini was the Patrani, the first queen of Krishna. He was her brother, very close, isn't it? But it didn't rub on him. The association of Krishna didn't rub. He just maintained his arrogance attitude. It continued for years. And when there was this marriage of the granddaughter, that means he must have really spent many years in arrogance. But that was the cause. And Balaramji was just so, you know, and Balaramji doesn't show mercy. I mean, you know, there was no connection to Balaramji with Rukmi. So Balaramji took a plow and just banged his head and just cracked it and killed him in one shot. I said, enough, this guy is just, that's the disgust the Guru Tattva has for people who are boastful, my dear friends. That's the serious message we need to learn from this event. That how disgusting it is to the Guru Tattva, which is represented by Balaramji. That he can't tolerate it, it's enough. It was just one shot. Balaramji just broke his, and then he ran after King of Kalinga. King of Kalinga ran, it is explained in Bhagavatam, he ran for 10 steps. And on 10th step, Balaramji caught him. And he broke his teeth. You're showing your teeth, he broke his teeth. Luckily, he didn't kill him. But this is another very, very, very graphic explanation about the result of this arrogant attitude of Rukmi, which actually became the cause of his death. We don't want arrogance or this mentality of, I am great, to be the cause of our spiritual death. But if you are not careful, if you don't learn your lesson, then it may cause your spiritual death. It is serious. So we have to be very, very careful. A very simple story, right? I mean, you know, the opposite of arrogance is to be modest. To be modest. To be honest or modest, both. And what is the real honesty? You know, there's a story which we have heard so many times, that there was this a rat who came to a sadhu, and he told the sadhu, this cat is troubling me so much. The sadhu made, so you become a cat. Then again the cat went and said, this dog is barking and I get scared, so be a dog. And this lion or tiger, whoever, said, you know, he's just troubling in the nearby forest, I get scared of the roaring, become a lion or tiger. And then he was about to attack the guru, about to attack the sadhu. The sadhu said, Punara Mushika Bhava. Again become a rat. A very simple story we have heard ample number of times, but a profound lesson to be learned. That when you are trying to use the gifts given by guru for your spiritual progress to destroy him, that means to take the credit for yourself, then all the guru in your life has to say is Punar Mushika Bhava, and you will again become an ordinary squeaking rat in your life. You might be doing Herculean tasks, you might be a lion, you might be doing lion like activities because of the blessing of the sadhu in your life, the guru, the Vaishnavas, the sadhus in your life. You might be doing big Herculean activities. But you, when you start bragging about it, when you start thinking about it, you are doing this, and you start bragging about it. And bragging means roaring. Ah, you know, he was roaring and trying to attack the sadhu. Sadhu said, Punar Mushika Bhava. Again become a rat. So we have seen, unfortunately, the history shows again and again, powerful lion-like devotees becoming ordinary rats. Because of this arrogant mentality, which Rukmi is so wonderfully showing here. I mean, so graphically showing, not wonderfully showing. So graphically showing by his example here. That he is in front of Krishna, Shad Aishwarya Purna Bhagwan. Yes, he's all strength, all knowledge, all beauty, everything, all strength. He's the sum and substance of all strength. He's the epitome of all strength. And here is this arrogant person, not even coming with his army, comes alone. He's just so excited and so much full of himself. He says, I challenge you to fight. Heights of arrogance. It doesn't really happen only in the pages of Bhagavatam, it happens in our life. It happens in our life. So we need to be very, very careful about how we have to be careful of this. Small pointers. What we speak, what language we use. In a conversation, if you are trying to dominate the conversation, be sure you are arrogant. If you are two people speaking and you have spoken more than 50% of the discussion you are doing, of course, if it is a situation where you are counseling or you are doing something where you are the speaker, that's a different case. But in a general conversation, if you dominate a conversation, this is a pointer, my dear friend, that yes, you are having some sort of arrogance. You are not allowing people to speak. These are small pointers of the Rukmini tendency, or rather, the Rukmi tendencies in our existence that we have. And we have got so many situations, and so many avenues now to really brag. I'll just end in 2 minutes. It is also very important that you don't have to tell the people of the world that how your life is very good. I'm no offenses to anybody sitting here or hearing this class, but many times we see on the various social medias or the things that are available nowadays on the internet, people putting photographs of the happy times of your life, that how you are, maybe your family is doing, and you put a photo and you put it up there. Now please understand, when people who are having happy life like you, they are happy to see you happy. But this world is filled with more people who are suffering than happy. When a suffering person sees your happiness, for him it is arrogance to that you show off like this. For a person who doesn't have a square meal to eat and is sitting outside a wedding, and from a wedding comes a huge can of unused food which you are just throwing the dump, what is it? It's arrogance. So let us be very, very sensitive to telling the world of what's happening. Be very modest. You do not have to say everything what's happening in your life, even if it is good. The world need not know it. They will know it through your behavior, through your activity. You don't have to really broadcast it in a big way. Why you want people to feel sad about themselves is outright arrogance. Somebody just having in India, there's just no lakhs of people not having food to eat, and somebody just builds a whole huge mansion for himself for some billions of dollars and doesn't even use it half the year. It's arrogance, my dear friends. Outright arrogance. And that arrogance will give rise to a revolt in people's hearts. And the revolt will be the cause of your own death. And that's how the people who killed the various emperors in the past are the people who were subjugated by the emperors. They became envious. They became revolting. And they killed the emperors themselves. So that's the power of... that's the damage that arrogance can do to the society. It gives rise to unnecessary competition, envy. So let us all understand the need to behave in a modest way, to have a low profile. Because that's what attracts Krishna. Krishna loves low profile. You see, wherever Krishna went, he went to Vidura's house. He was a low profile devotee. And here there was a high profile guy, Duryodhan, just showing off his wealth with all this pakwan that he had made. But Krishna went to Vidura. It's a simple food. Duryodhan ka bhogana khaya, rukh shak vidur gar khaya. So this shows Krishna hates arrogance. He hates people showing off. So that's a lesson that we can learn from this beautiful episode that we are discussing. And also, to end, the last thing that I just remembered is many times speaking about the mercy that you have received from your guru or from devotees in a wrong assembly is also arrogance. I'm sharing the mercy I got from a guru. What is so wrong? No, but it's arrogance. So please, our devotees need to be very sensitive. And if you find yourself secure within, you don't have to really brag without. But if you are not secure within, then you will need, there's a need to brag without, and that's where you get your security from. So let's learn to be secure within. Let us learn that whatever activity we are doing is simply for the pleasure of the Guru and Krishna. And they are satisfied by what they are doing. We don't need to really tell the world. And if the world knows, we are happy to say thank you and move on with our activity. And please pray that I can follow this. And please pray that we all can follow this. So this world becomes a modest place, because what the world is really lacking is modesty. It is just profusely filled with large number of arrogant people, and it's creating such a havoc in the society. I thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandi.